We have been covering the senses. This will be the last on smell. And this is the most, or rather the least explored area of relationship with our God through the sense of smell. We have a lot of emphasis on sight. We have a lot of emphasis on hearing. We talk about seeing God and hearing God. And even tasting God is a bit weird for some people, right? When we did taste with the banquet, the group of YWAMers that came, was it YWAM? They say that it's so interesting because they have not actually heard a sermon on taste in wherever they came from. And so smell is the least explored, I would say. And above all else, smell, even personally, it would be the most rare experience I would have. If you ask me if I have smelled the Lord, of course, if you say we walk by and there's roses and we smell the roses, we think about God, right? I hope so. We think about your girlfriends, your beloved on earth. When you smell the aroma of coffee, what do you think about? Coffee, caffeine. Some of you could dug it, right? No coffee. You cannot listen to Selena right now. You need caffeine. Now, because you're surrounded by different kind of aroma and also not so nice smell. Pastor Ed talked a lot from the perspective of us smelling to God. But today we're going to look at another angle. And so there's a lot of aroma. We're surrounded by different kind of smell in life. You cannot take that out, because if you can't smell, it's quite a challenge, right? You won't enjoy your food. But I'm not talking about the smell today primarily, the smell of flowers or fresh dew or garbage dump like he talked about last week. But I'm talking about the anointing of that tangible smell of God in that presence, in His manifested presence. And so, in my personal experience, maybe some of you have more, but in my personal experience, there were a few occasions that in deep worship, I smell a fragrance in the room that I'm praying. But I must say that every time it does happen, I doubt. I'll be like, God, is that you? And I go sniffing around. Maybe I have perfume. Maybe I have spilled something. I'll go around trying to identify some sort of sources of fragrance. And so I usually doubt. But there was one particular, just very, very recently in my house, I already shared before, during our boiler, our 3 hours boiler. And it was just so strong. It's a floral essence and fragrance. And I was very sure that it was God that night. And I asked the boiler team, did you smell anything? And they say, I say, are you sure? They say, and I got like, it's so strong. And they said, but I said, I don't care whether you smell or don't smell. I knew that moment that it was the fragrance of the Lord's presence. And I'm asking that God would just come in such a way, whether it's today or your own time with the Lord, that you will smell God. Amen. We've been singing that we want to worship and reach out to Him with all that we have. And all that we have begin with our 5 senses. You can't say that I can only see God or hear God. If with all that we have, we want to reach out to Him, we reach out to Him with all that we have. And I mean all. And next week, we will conclude with a finale, bam, hashtag. It will be Pastor Edward bringing senses unite. So He's going to bring all the 5 senses together next week. I want you to be excited that next week you will experience the power of God's presence in this place. Are you with me? Are you okay, Kaishan? Let's do a little object lesson. Where's my assistant? I think I cannot pull this out in the middle. This is as far as it can be. So you got to try to find your angle so you can see me. Can everyone see me? I know I'm vertically challenged, but can you see me? Yes. If not, please do find a spot. How many know what's this? Diffuser, because I have a oil user here. Is this the one you use at home? No. Yeah, we have we have various ones at home. We've been blessed with various ones, and this is one of the most basic one, the easiest to use. The title of my message today is, now this is the diffuser, and so the title is very easy. You can guess, right? We all know that Eve. I can't say when because we are very lazy. But Eve, all of us, every one of us, were to go into deep worship, we are all guaranteed that we will encounter God. Yes. The problem is we are touch and go people in our urban setting. We have too many distractions, too many things to do, too many people to meet. We do not know how to say no. But by saying yes to people and things, we say no to God in a longer time. And so you need to set, and I need to set time for deep worship. If you want to see, you want to hear, if you want to taste, if you want to feel, if you want to touch, if you want to smell God. And if you read a lot of testimony, people who go into deep worship, they smell God a lot of times. But don't say, if I don't smell, I don't want to go into deep worship. That is God's prerogative, how He's going to come and let us experience Him. But He's the God of His word, right? And so the diffuser here represent the altar that we are setting before God. Because the Bible say that we need to consecrate ourselves. We need to be set apart. And setting apart of consecration meaning to say that we remove everything else from our lives and then we present ourselves before God. Now we don't put up a physical altar like what the Old Testament talks about. But although in our Asian context, every home you go to, whether it's Hindu, whether it's Buddhist, Taoist, apart from Muslim and Christian, you will see physical altar, right? And if you come from that background, because I came from those backgrounds, we have altars at home. And incense are burned every day and every night, faithfully to our altar. And we present food and drinks and flowers at the altar. And so for me, it is not hard to see in my mind, a physical altar. But God doesn't need that physical altar. We know that after Christ died for us on the cross. But we still need to put up an altar in our life. Though it's not visible, but it still needs time. You need to set aside time. Yes, we can go on praying. We can have prayer every day. And we should be talking to God every day, everywhere. But we still need that longer period of time to just come and be at that place, that appointed time and place with God. And I challenge all of us since many years ago, and especially last year, and it's going to be this year, keep rubbing in, is that can you give just an hour to the Lord every day? If you have not gotten into the habit, start with 5 minutes, if you're a very young Christian, or 10, and then increase to 15, 20. Half an hour. But I'm asking for those seasoned ones, would you say an hour to the Lord? And you know that if you can endure an hour sitting in God's presence, whatever, however you worship God, dance. I don't normally just sit only. We do all sorts of things at home. But If you can endure one, you will understand that one is not enough. Because God has so much more for us to experience. And that's why, who was it? Pastor Daniel Lim, I hope, is a good friend of ours. When he came back, when we were in RGBC then, he says that an hour is just like a plane on a runway. We have not take off. You know, have you seen y'all come into prayer? And the prayer leader have to rally you guys. First hour, we're still on the runway. We're human beings. Because it begins in the flesh to say, yes, I choose to come to the altar. And then as you choose to come in your natural, you step into your natural and then you soar. And that's why a minimum prayer meeting, we hate that word prayer meeting. My girl said, that's old school, mom. We don't do prayer meeting. Okay, we come and boil or watch or burn incense, whatever you want to call it. But they say prayer meeting is old school because it sounds very boring, right? So he said that we need minimum 3 hours to experience God. And it is not what he say, but is what the Bible says. Because in the olden days, every prayer slot is 3 hours. Every prayer slot is 3 hours. And we ask why we don't smell God. Why we don't taste God? Why we can't say we see God and we hear God and touch God and feel God? Because we don't spend time at the altar. And so if we could set ourselves an altar, and the Bible says water represents the Holy Spirit, just soaking ourselves. Now this diffuser has a red mark here. It tells you how much water to put. You can put very little. That means it will go off very soon. But if you go up to the red line, it lasts about 3 to 4 hours. Cool, right? Because that reminds me that I need at least 3 to 4 hours with the Lord. And so many days I fall short as well. And so if we would soak ourselves in the Holy Spirit, in His presence, long enough. No, what the Bible says, you see, the thing is, Genesis 2:7 says that the Lord, when He made man and woman, what did He do? He breathed. He breathed into His nostril the breath of life. And the breath of life is equated to the Spirit of God coming into us. Now, when I read this, I was just thinking, how would God's breath smell like? I'm not going to ask you to do this because some of you will freak out if you turn to your neighbor. How would God's breath smell like? Have you thought of it when you read this scripture? That when God breathed into His nostril, how did God breath smell like? If we do not have the breath of life, we are dead. Right? If you don't breathe, you're dead. And so here God breathed into Adam's nostril to give him life so that he's not just a body of flesh, but life takes place. That dead body, that stagnant piece of meat is activated into life. And we know that it's very commonly preached that in Greek, pneuma, or the word pneumonia, pneumococcus, the bacteria, pneuma actually means wind, which is also equated with the Holy Spirit. And so when you are being breathed the breath of God, we move. But when He comes, you see, here, when God comes and breathes, but we talk about the breath of God, but we don't actually think about how does that even smell. So how does God smell? Christine last few weeks told me he smelled like cake. Oh no, bread, fresh bread. He says, this guy smell like fresh bread. She was making a statement, not a question. Is it? Fresh baked buns. I don't know. He could. But he has to smell good. And also in another part of the Bible, it says that in Song of Songs, it says that the odor of your ointment is fragrant. Your name is like poured out perfume. And in another passage in Exodus 30:35, you know, the priests would come and make anointing oil. Before they come into the presence of God to worship, they make anointing oil. And anointing oil that they make of, let's look at that. Exodus 30:35. Remember one season we talked a lot about anointing oil, and so we have a set of anointing oil given by someone to the church some years back. We have not finished using, and there's a whole range of them. He make a fragrant, a blend of incense or anointing oil in some version, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Can we see the subsequent verses? Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the testimony in the tent of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. I suppose it's the preceding verses. Anyway, because of time, I'm just going to tell you that the three oils that they use for anointing oil is frankincense, myrrh, they're expensive oils, cassia, and they blend it with aloe and olive oil, and they will smear themselves to come before God. And another portion in the Old Testament, it says that, so I have here this oil, frankincense, cassia and myrrh. Okay, this is the anointing oil we've been using. This is my own frankincense. And this frankincense is therapeutic grade, meaning to say that you can actually use it for medicinal purpose. So we're just going to drip some here. I know that this diffuser is only for a small room. It's not a big room like this. So you probably won't smell much at the end where Emmanuel is sitting. But this is just for a small bedroom. But it's just for the sake of object lesson. So in the Bible it says that, you know, God is equivalent or likened to oil that is poured over. He's likened, like what Song of Solomon said, that he's an odor of ointment or fragrant oil that is poured forth like perfume unto us. If you do not know how this oil smells, you can come and smell later. So can you imagine while you spend time with the Lord in deep worship and God, like Song of Songs says, it comes and pour oil. When he pour his presence unto us like oil. I take frankincense every day. My mom takes sacred frankincense every day. That is one species, one notch higher, which treat major problem. So this one, so I can actually take two. It's for healing. So this oil, frankincense, is poured in as well. And I don't have aloe and olive oil with me, but those are fatty oils. These are essential oils, meaning to say they are not oily. Okay, they are. So if we are spending time with the Lord, soaking in the Holy Spirit, and as God are being poured out, as God has been poured out like a fragrant oil or ointment over us. And so I would use this word. We are being, as we receive this, We are being infused. You go to the hospital, you have infusion. They put in drip for you, right? You take in. So you're being infused. And so when we spend enough time in deep worship with God, what are we infusing? And remember, you need to be connected and plugged in. P-K-A-U-S-M. I just went there to talk on prayer. Their theme for me was plug in. Because you cannot, if you don't plug in that source, right? The divine source. Plug in and blast off. Okay. So if you're plugged in for a long time and you spend enough time with God, God pours forth where you're soaking in there in the secret place. Can you see? Boleh nampak ke? Can you see? Can you see? When you're plugged in and we're infused with the oil that comes from heaven's throne, when you're seated there and sipped in the Holy Spirit, you are diffusing. After you infuse, you are diffusing. And what are you diffusing? It's very, very nice here. You can come here later. Those in front, you can smell the fragrance. This is the blend of the anointing oil that the Bible talks about. And so if you are the priest of the olden days, this is how you will smell when you enter the Holy of the Holies. Maybe I should just pour this on Edward every Sunday. So when we are infused, we will surely diffuse. So if God anoint us, as Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, that He anoint us with the oil of joy and gladness to turn our mourning, another part, into dancing. You come into the house, you come into the presence of God with mourning and sorrow. But if you sit there like the diffuser, oh, we are the diffuser, okay? We are a walking diffuser. But if we are seated in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are plugged in with the divine, within the divine source, connected and press on the button, the lights comes on. Because God promised us that His light come upon us. And when He pour that oil of fragrance unto us, we will smell like Him. Do you believe that you will smell good? Last week, Pastor Edward talks about ourselves, that we will be a pleasing aroma unto God. And as we take that aroma out into a community, the community must be able to smell the aroma of Christ in our lives. That is carrying the presence of God into the community. So that we don't stink, but we smell good. There are a couple of times that people tell me, what perfume do you use, or cologne? I say, why? Because I don't use perfume or cologne. Because I cannot take that strong smell. I like the miniature bottles. So for a season, I was collecting all the miniature bottles because people give me perfume, but I don't know how, I don't use them. But because they give me, I try to use in the earlier days, but I give up because I don't have that kind of time to, you know, put perfume. And you know that you shouldn't be pouring a lot, you know, even if you spray, you shouldn't be spraying like this. You should spray and walk through it. Really? You don't believe me? That's the right way. You spray and then you walk through it so that you have just enough percentage so that you're not drowned. So that couple of times when people ask me in those days, I don't really understand that me being a vessel, being a walking diffuser, we are diffusing the fragrance of God's presence. And so I would say, no, I don't use anything. I don't know what you're smelling. I don't use any oil. But if today people will come and tell me again that, hey, you smell good, what perfume you're using, I know what to answer. Do you know what to answer? Have you encountered like these people come to you and say, you smell so good, what perfume do you use? Armadi. Hey, nothing in comparison. And so we need to be walking diffuser. And today I'd like to ask these two questions because I already asked Penny and the worship team to prepare this so that we have time a little bit more to just soak in God's presence. Because when we infuse God through deep worship, we will diffuse Him through our witness and our walk. Are you with me? But what are we infusing and what are we diffusing? What are you infusing and what are you diffusing? What am I infusing and what am I diffusing? Now, this is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Ponder for a while. While you ponder, would you just turn around 360 degrees, stretch your arms towards my mom, and we're just going to pray for her right now. She's not feeling so well. Our good, good Father, right now in the presence of yours in this room, as we stretch out our hands and unite in spirit, we declare and decree, Lord, that you would touch her and let her be healed and feel comfortable right now in Jesus' name. We thank you that, Lord, you surround her with a holy fire and that, Lord, you have come to give her life and to give her life to the full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible talks about the oil that God pours unto us is an oil of joy and gladness. It's oil of joy and gladness. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is nothing to do with joy. It is totally different. Like I've said many times before, I can be joyful but yet not happy. I can be happy yet not joyful. Are you with me? If I am not so well, if like my mom right now, is she happy? If you are in that state, will you be happy? No, because you're feeling weak and awful. But can you have joy despite that? Yes, you can, because of the presence of God, because of the love of God, because of the strength of God. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Would you say that? The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you have no strength, you would tell the Lord, you would tell the enemy, hey, look here, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Whatever you're throwing at me, I'm telling you, enemy, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I will not be defeated. I will not be weakened. I will not be shaken because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because He has come to anoint me with the oil of joy and gladness to turn my mourning into dancing. There is something powerful when you come into the presence of God. When you sing with all you have, some of you are not singing with all you have. You have beautiful, great voices. You're not singing. You're not giving every part of your voice. Some of you are not just giving everything you have in worship. If I'm reaching out to Him in worship, I reach Him with every part of me. You say, it's my personality. Now, I used to be very shy and timid too. And when I come into the first church I entered was a very conservative church. A lot of people fold their arms and sit down. And because me being very afraid and timid in those days, it's not that I'm very brave now, but it is the strength and the courage of God in me. And so those days when I worship, I will be very conscious. I try to close my eyes so that I'm not distracted. But sometimes I still open and look around. And then I'll be so stiff because in that church we're not allowed to even raise our hand, you see. So everybody is very proper. So I've been brought up to be proper in our worship. No nonsense, proper. But as I read more into the Bible, that this David danced with all his might and all this, I begin to question it. How can I just reach out to him with everything that I have? And so the Lord took me through season and I begin to worship him. And now you will see when I worship, I don't really care who is around me anymore. Did I change in my personality? No. I'm still reserved. If you know me, I'm still reserved. But when I come into the presence of God, I'm not reserved because my audience is God. I don't care if you think my dance is lousy, if my steps is kaku, if my voice is hard, because I'm worshiping with all that I have. And we just sang that we reach out to him with everything that's in me. So if I'm true to myself and I'm true to God, I will reach out everything that is in me. And so I cannot pull back. I cannot reserve. I have to give him all that is in me. We have a couple of verses to run through. I know some of you are waiting for all the acronyms and all the same letters. So once in a while, we'll break the norm, right? You don't get it today. So the title of the message, if you are writing it down, infuse to be diffused, but take down all these verses that we're running through. And so John 4:23-24 say, we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because spirit of God encompasses everything in totality in our senses. And as I say, much emphasis has been given to other senses. Very little emphasis are given to smell. And that's why today we're emphasizing that the smell is one sense that's very crucial in experiencing God. We talked about the nervous system a couple of weeks ago because when we talk about five senses, we got to talk about the nervous system, right? Do you remember what I say? How many neurons do we have up here to communicate? Now, we need the nervous system so that we can sense. And for the sense of smell, and Pastor Ed told you about when you taste, you need smell because most of us smell first. And decide what we're going to eat. Because there is this special tube, he say, that joins your nose to the throat, which is called the Eustachian tube. And so, everything is connected in our body. We cannot just cut it up. We are one body. And so is our physical body. Everything is intertwined. But in our nostril, we have a trillion nerves. And so we can actually, in our olfactory sense, we can actually pick up more than we think we can. We don't have the capacity like some animals, like dogs, they can smell you from afar. But even as human, we have the capacity to pick up a lot of odor more than we can actually imagine. We have a trillion nerves to enable us to do it. Of course, some people have better senses than others. And if you have sinus problem, then you will have a little bit more challenge. Because a lot of time, Pastor Edward say, I don't smell anything. I say, your nose is dead, is it? You don't smell. The rice stinks, you know, like, you know, what do you say? Chow sui, yeah? Rotten rice, you know, rotten rice. Like, if you put it in a rice pot and you forgot to keep it in a crazy heated weather, you know, in Australia, it's so good in the winter. Put everything out in the kitchen. Nothing gets spoiled in the morning. You know, and I just enjoy it. Don't even need a fridge. But here, even in a couple of hours, our food doesn't taste so good anymore. And sometimes I ask him, can you smell for me? I'm not so sure. He says, don't ask me to smell. I'm hopeless because he's always having sinus problem. So those having sinus problem, declare healing. Don't say I have sinus problem. Declare healing. Put oil and declare healing. And so we want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we know that spirit encompasses the totality of the encounter in relation to all our senses. And we cannot leave the sense of smell out. 2 Corinthians 2:15 say, we are sweet fragrance of Christ unto God. We are sweet fragrance of Christ unto God. So as you infuse the poured out oil from heaven and sipped in, you will diffuse that fragrance Like 2 Corinthians 2:15 say that we become the sweet fragrance of Christ, or amplified version say the exhale of God. That means God exhale. And we should smell like Him. If God smells good, then we should smell good. Psalm 45 verse 7 and 8 says, let's read that. I like that part. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, our God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, string instruments make you glad. That talks about worship. The oil, the string instrument, talks about worship. In another version in Amplified, it says that when we have the right standing before God, do you have the right standing before God? Do you have the right standing before God? If you claim that Jesus Christ is your Lord and died for you, and His blood covered you and His blood covered me, then we have the right standing before God. I think it's either Exodus or Leviticus. It says that even when we come before God, the accuser is still pointing his finger at us, even that we have the right standing before God, simply because by the blood that covers us. So it says here, if you have the right standing before God, He will anoint you with the oil of gladness and your garment with fragrance of myrrh, aloe, and cassia. So if we have right standing before God, we will be poured forth with that anointing. And some of you say, Abba, I'm still so weighed down. I don't have the joy of the Lord. Then we have to make a right standing and say, I am a child of God. I am being redeemed. I have been redeemed. I've been set free. And I will not subject myself to all this nonsense that the enemy throws at me. I will arise and worship Him. I will arise to praise Him with all that I have. Because when we do that, He promised that He will come and let us experience Him. Are you with me? Revelation 8, 3 to 4. Remember, we talked about that some time ago as well. That, and we come into the presence of God and burn incense. Okay, it's up here. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer and was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Now here, do not underestimate your praise, your prayer, and your thanksgiving and worship unto Him who sits upon the throne, who deserves our everything and all. Do not underestimate the faintest prayer you say in the name of the Lord Jesus. You mean it, He will mean it more than you and I. And I have been I've been blown away so many times of the prayer that I made, no matter how weak and faint I thought it was at that time. But when the Lord showed up, sometimes few days later, sometimes immediately, sometimes many years down the road, and I say, wow, God, wow. And the Lord will remind me that you prayed for that, girl. You prayed for that. Don't you remember? How can you wow now? Because when you pray for that, you must expect it. If we pray, we must expect God to work. Because the Bible says that we cannot be wishy-washy. God is a yes means yes, no means no, or wait. So if there's no yes, no, no, and wait, we wait. But when it comes, sometimes we go, oh God. So the angel in the book of Revelation is holding up the prayer of the saint. The smoke of the incense that come from your prayer and my prayer and praise and thanksgiving, it doesn't go to waste. It rises from the place of worship, from the altar that you set before God, your personal altar. We went through a series of altars some years ago. We talk about personal altar, we talk about group altars, we talk about church altar, we talk about national altars, and we talk about universal altars. And that's why in this generation, the movement of prayer is accelerating, the worship is intensifying, because we are waiting for Jesus to come back. And that's why the prayer houses, whatever denomination, you know, there's no one denomination. But there's so many denominations coming up, rising up in prayer. I was in one prayer conference, and honestly, I have to repent before God. I was so offended because we were all asked to stand and take that brochure and sign up to be an intercessor with that denomination. And not everybody stood up. And so one final night, the speaker say, everybody who has not signed up, would you stand? And we were put on the spot. So we all stood, those who did not sign up. And we were rebuked in the conference for not praying and not being an intercessor because we did not sign up with that denomination. And I was so offended. And God, I said, God, forgive me, but I'm feeling angry now. How can we be rebuked publicly just because we don't enroll as an intercessor under a particular denomination? Are you with me? And I'm like, God, this cannot be. Because everybody, I want to believe that people who are hungry enough, passionate enough for our nation and beyond would be praying. Maybe different intensity. But I said, it's not fair to put us on the spot and rebuke us and ask us to take that brochure and sign up. And we still did not. Because I said, God, I already enrolled in your army to be an intercessor. You know, I don't need to sign up under a particular denomination to be called an intercessor of the Lord. And so this is the generation that prayer movement, worship movement is accelerating. And the angel of the Lord in the book of Revelation is receiving the smoke of the incense from you and I. And when that censer is all filled, what will happen? It will tip. It will pour. And that is the outpouring and the revival that we are talking about. Amen. There are many verses that we can look into, but I really want us to get into the practical side of intensifying our worship. We don't have 3 hours set aside for today, but I still like us to take that time before we go back. So what are we infusing and what are we diffusing? What are we infusing? And what are we diffusing? Can I have the boiler team up? Just one question for today. What are we infusing and what are we diffusing? Are we setting up an altar before God? Soaking in His Spirit? Plugged in into the divine source and staying there without distraction. I'm not talking about just bringing prayer items before God. I'm talking about just looking at Him, enjoying Him, worshiping Him, exalting Him, putting in the highest place, not just bringing Him prayer agenda and prayer items, but just delighting in the Lord and sitting in that place and adoring Jesus. Giving that honor to God the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit. And says, Lord, here I am. And as you do that, the Lord will pour, as Song of Songs says, the fragrant oil from heaven unto us so that we will smell so good, that we'll begin to diffuse, so that we will become a pleasing aroma unto Him. And that when we carry that presence and walk into the community and become the witness for our Lord Jesus Christ, we will smell so good that people will want to come. That we will attract people. Not because we are beautiful outwardly, although we should be seen that way, but not as the world view us. But we will begin to attract people because of this pleasing aroma, because of the presence of the mighty God in our lives. Come, Lord. Breathe on us, God. Increase, Lord, the capacity for us to take in more. Infuse on us, Lord. Give us the ability, Lord, to receive the infusion of the oil that comes from above, Lord. We should speak to the Lord right now, just you and Him. Huramasana masay. God, we want to be found in your presence. Lord, we want to smell the aroma, the nice perfume that comes from heaven. Ooh. Awaken us, Lord. Awaken us. Awaken our spiritual nose, Lord, so that we can smell. And we want to worship with the senses of smell, Lord. Teach us, God. Holy Spirit, come.